connect with his awesomeness tonight. Amen? Well, how do I do that? Just believe he's awesome and receive his awesomeness. God wants to share his awesomeness with us. Want to let the men know that this Saturday we'll be having our Barnabas breakfast at 8:30 a.m. for all men. And as long as there's no snow on the ground, we'll have it. So, praise God. I'll tell you what, God is good. You know, he is good to us. And I just want to praise God that he is faithful to provide for this body. He is faithful to give us what we need, want, and desire. And if you came ready to give an offering or a tithe tonight, you can do that anytime. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to give and to sow into your kingdom. Lord, when we sow on good ground, Father, it will multiply, it will abound, and you will be glorified and honored. And Father, I ask you to bless, increase, multiply every gift and every giver. And Lord, we do it in faith and cheer in our hearts, and we love you, Lord. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. And then also on February 3rd, if you're a football lover and want to come for a night of fellowship, we're going to have a Super Bowl party just to fellowship. And, you know, we don't have to let the world tell us how to have fun. We can change it around on them. Amen? Sometimes it's good to put peer pressure on the world. Amen? So you can come and join us on February 3rd at 6:30 p.m. That'll be a great time. If you want to bring something to share with others, there's a list at our information table. And praise God. We had a great discipleship class earlier called Rooted and Grounded. And it was awesome. So I'm pumped up. Amen. Amen? Well, did you come expecting this evening? What are you expecting?
Healing.
Healing. What else? Refreshing. What else? The Word. What else?
Manifestation.
What else?
Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
All right. Amen. God has it all, doesn't he?
Amen.
Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the renewed you and what you do. And we're basically, it's going to come from Colossians chapter 3. But I just felt like that's what the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. And, you know, the word renew, it means to refurbish, to repair. You know, when your car is acting up and you take it to the mechanic and he repairs it and they fix the problem, all right? That's like a form of renew. It means to revamp. How many's ever just changed their scene? Right? 2013 is the year we change our scene. You can revamp things, change the way you do things. We can regenerate. How many know that God's given us a regenerator? The regeneration, the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit is in us. And though the outward man perishes, the inward man is becoming new. Hallelujah. Say, I'm being new on the inside. And it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside, but the inside matters to God. It means to replace something that is worn or broken or no longer suitable for use. Some of us have had to replace our belief systems, haven't we? Because the belief system that we had didn't give us the results that we wanted. And so we had to change our belief system. Charles Capps, he talks about kicking over sacred cows. You know, sometimes we think something that is sacred, but really it's not so sacred to God, and we find that out. And to renew means to restate a promise or a commitment. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to get right into this in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, how many here have been risen with Christ? All right, then I'm talking to the right audience. I'm in the right group. All right? You've been risen with Christ. You've gotten the victory through Christ. You've been strengthened through Christ. Okay? Seek those things which are where? Above. God wants you to come up higher. Hallelujah. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You're supposed to seek things that are above where Christ sits. What is Christ doing right now in this moment? He is ever living to make intercession for you and I. So if you were to seek intercession, you'd be seeking a good thing, wouldn't you? That's where Christ sits. Amen? Is there any sorrow where Christ sits? Is there any darkness where Christ sits? Is there any fuddy-duddies where Christ sits? Unfortunately, they're here on this earth, aren't they? But he tells us that we are to seek these things. We are to pursue these things. The things where Christ sits, we're supposed to go after. You know, if you're sitting way up here, how are you going to be looking? You're going to be looking down. And when you look down, how big is your enemy? Very small. Do you realize he can fit under your foot? You have the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, nothing shall hurt me. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Well, life and peace is better than death, isn't it? How many, when you go shopping, you're one of those people that drive around the aisles until you get the closest spot, right? How many know it matters where you park your car, right? Sometimes it matters. Well, you know what? Where we park our minds matter. What we allow ourselves to think on. You know, here is Negative Avenue. We don't want to park the car on Negative Avenue, right? That's an avenue that we want to avoid. You know, we want righteousness, peace, and joy lane. And we can park our car, and parking your car is like setting your mind on these things. Okay? You know, if you're seeking something, where should you be looking? You should be looking to the thing that you're seeking, right? If you're seeking things above, you know, you ought to look through Christ's glasses and get his perspective on things. Okay, the Bible tells us to seek these things. If you're risen with Christ, you need to seek those things. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that are happening in heaven that we can seek. Did you know that we can have heaven on earth? Didn't Jesus come from heaven? And when he was baptized, didn't God speak from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? And in a sense, now we can have some heaven on earth. Praise God. If you read Deuteronomy 11, it talks about it, but we're not going to go there tonight. So these are things that we need to seek. Verse 2, set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If you've been thinking on things of the earth, the senses, the circumstances, the problems, the bleakness of things. Guess what? You need to turn your mind. You need to set it on a different channel. How many know that you can set your mind on a different channel? And God wants, you know, we can focus our things on God. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. How do we set our mind on things above? Well, Psalm 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of who? If you know someone is ungodly, don't ask them for advice. Amen? You're not walking in their counsel. You don't stand in the way of sinners. Hey, you want to come with me so that we can sin? No. You resist sin. Amen? Say, I resist sin. We're supposed to resist the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But those of us in faith, we can resist him steadfast in the faith. You know, if the devil tries to come here, you block him like this. So you're not coming here. Right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't pay more attention to a critic than you would a friend. If you're going to criticize, give solutions. Otherwise, be quiet. But his, look at verse 2. His delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate. How often? Day and night. That covers the morning people and the night people. All right? Day and night, God includes both groups. So to set your mind on things above, you've got to take delight in the law of the Lord. And that's also the law of the Spirit. And where the law of the Spirit is, there's freedom, isn't there? So we can set our minds, we got to take delight in God's law. That's part of setting our mind on things above. We have to control our minds. You know, Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Where does the devil attack people? He attacks them in their mind. What are his weapons? Deception, lies, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to God. He will whisper to you. And we have a choice. When we hear the devil talking, we can just say, speak to the hand. I am delighting in the law of God. And you can quote scriptures to the devil, and he's not going to hang around long. I remember one time I encountered a demon-possessed person. We were on a crusade in Atlanta, Georgia. And we were ministering in the area called Techwood, which at that time was the worst project area in the city of Atlanta. I mean, there were cops all around. People drove by us it was crazy. But we were there, we set up music, and we covered a 2-block radius. And anybody that would come out, we would share the gospel with them. Because the church that I went to, the pastor had a vision called Lost and Found. He bought 2 Greyhound buses, and he went from a small country town, LaSalle, Illinois, into the major cities and preached the gospel. It was pretty awesome. I remember the night that he shared the vision. That night, they took up $40,000 in the offering to buy the buses. It was awesome. Anyway, this young believer, he comes to me and he says, how are you with demons? And I said, well, I've dealt with them before. And there was this guy, and literally he was growling. He was going like that. And he was on the corner, and there was an iron fence. It was like, you know, like a high-rise building. People live there, but then you got this iron fence. And he's sitting there, and I just went up to him, and I pointed at him. And I said, the devil's a liar. And he says, oh, yeah, I'm coming out there. So he came down the sidewalk. And there I am with my young friend who asked me how I was with demons. And he tried to kick me. Literally, his foot was stopped in midair. Angels. All right? And I began to quote the word. God started bringing scriptures to my mind, and I started saying about my authority that I have in Christ Jesus. We weren't getting anywhere. So finally, I looked at him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you need to go. He just stopped what he was doing. He turned around and walked back and went back behind the fence. But, see, when you set your mind on things above, you have authority over any demonic activity and the devil himself. Amen? When you delight in God's law, you're going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers. Aren't you glad that he plants you by more than one river of living water? You're going to produce your fruit in season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. But that's to the person who delights in the law of the Lord, whose mind is focused on the things of God. Amen? Your mind, let me put it this way. Your body will go where your mind leads. If you're thinking on evil, you're going to end up doing evil. If you're thinking on the wrong thing, you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. That's why you got to be careful who you hang around with. Set your hearts, set your minds. It means to keep your minds fixed. Your whole emotional and intellectual energy is to be directed above. You're supposed to be able to overcome the circumstances of life. Stuff can be happening here on this level, but you're focused on here, and the stuff that's happening is quickly going to fade away. That's why Jesus, when someone wanted to kill him, he could just walk away because he set his mind on things above. That's why whatever he said happened, because his mind was set on the above setting. All right? Then let's go back to Colossians. Colossians gives us some things here that will help us to be renewed, and it'll change what we do. You know, when your mind is renewed, you're going to do different things. When your mind is renewed, you're going to have different responses. You know, you're not just going to lash out. And let's go back into Colossians here. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with in Christ. So when the devil comes and knocks at your door, just let Jesus answer. And when the devil opens the door, he'll say, oh, sorry, wrong house. Your life is hid in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. In other words, now, you are patterning your life after Christ. You're doing what he did. You're saying what he said. You're having the same attitude that he had. Jesus never had a bad day. But he had disciples that had bad days. What does it mean to be hid in Christ? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it tells us, take upon his yoke and learn from me. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. If your burden is too heavy, then you're not hiding your life in Christ. Because Christ, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Oh, this heavy burden that I have. Well, you know, if you cast your cares into Jesus, he'll care for you and he'll take those cares. See, sometimes we want to take pride in our heavy burden. We want to pride ourselves in the fact of how heavy this is, and look at me, I can lift it. That's the wrong thing, because now we're having everybody look to us and not to Christ. We should be saying, you know what? Listen, Christ helps me carry the load. And when I can't carry it, he carries me and the load. You know, a human being was never designed to carry those things. That's why God comes against worry and fear so much. People who worry and fear, they're carrying too many things on them that they weren't designed to. And it will hinder your faith. But our life is hidden Christ. Did you know Colossians 2:3 says, talking about Christ, let's just go there for a minute. Let me read it. Colossians 2:3, in whom, he's talking about Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When you're hiding in Christ, you always know what to do because you're not trusting in yourself. You're trusting in Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we're hiding in Christ, we're not fearful. When we're hiding in Christ, we're joyful. When we're hiding in Christ, we're pleasant. Amen? Because they're not seeing us, they're seeing Christ. In other words, you're letting your light so shine before men that they see your good works and what? They glorify your Father in heaven. See, I'm going to glorify your Father in heaven because what you do, you're doing by faith. And when you do it by faith, you please God, and God gets the glory. And people will say, oh, what a good job you did. Wait, no. Praise God. It's God. You give him the glory, man. We got to continually reflect the glory to God. Because your flesh will be drawn to pride. But continue to give the glory to God. If you died with him, Paul told Timothy, you will also live with him. The life that you're living now, I'm living it with Christ. In other words, I'm letting Christ live through me. Does that mean I do everything right? No, because I still have a flesh body. I still have to keep my body under. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I, talking about the real him, keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach, I should be a castaway. So Paul had to do something with his body. And if there was anybody that could have taken a proud stance about himself, it was Paul. He had all the accomplishments. He had all the awards. He had all the acknowledgments. But you know what? He himself, I consider that all dung, he said, that I may have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's what it means to be hidden in Christ. You know, when Moses, he had a talk with God. He said, God, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. And God said, okay, but you need to hide in this rock. And I'm going to pass by and you'll see my backside because you can't handle seeing the whole thing right now. In your present state, without your glorified body, if you were to see the glory of God in all of its majesty, your body couldn't handle it. You'd explode. Why do you think John fell like on the ground like a dead man when the angel appeared to him? Because it was so powerful. It was so magnificent. It was so awesome. We have an awesome God. And you know, sometimes we have to endure some things. I mean, has anyone ever been through something as a Christian? I mean, something has happened to you that shouldn't have happened to you, and you know, it happened. But guess what? You're still here to say about it, aren't you? In other words, that thing didn't do you under. In other words, you didn't let that thing get the best of you. You let Christ take care of it, and he brought you through it. Hallelujah. We have a God who can bring us through things. Let's go back to Colossians 3. Look at verse 5. mortify your members which are upon the earth. That doesn't sound pleasant, does it? Mortify. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are things that we're supposed to kill in our life. If you see something that's becoming an idol, how do you know it's becoming an idol? Because you're giving it more attention than you would God. You're giving it more value than you would God. It's becoming an idol. And God is a jealous God. He said, I will have no other God before me. Amen? In other words, just make sure that God is first on the list. Put God first. Before you make a decision, pray. Ask God what he would do. Because do you understand that not everything you're offered is from God? I could have married the wrong person. I could have missed it by a country. When I went into Tulsa to be ordained, I was ordained in 1996. Fiona and I weren't together yet. I met this person from Venezuela. And I went back to Tennessee and we began just talking on the telephone. And we were going to plan to meet. And it was at that time that Fiona needed someone to go with her to Pennsylvania because she had a car in Tennessee, but then she bought another one, a newer one, because after she graduated, she got a job, so she bought another car. So she had two cars. She didn't need two cars. She only needed one. So she needed someone to take her car back to Pennsylvania. And I told this girl in Tulsa, I said, you know what? I just really need to pray this week, and I really need to seek God because I felt like I was getting a substitute other than the one that God really wanted me to have. And so I prayed and I fasted, and I told this girl in Tulsa, I said, I can't see you because I promised to go to Pennsylvania with Fiona. Well, do you realize it was that trip that we got together? But I was close. I was coming close to making the wrong decision. And if I hadn't taken time to pray and seek God, I would have missed it. But God helped me make the best decision. But because, you know, sometimes the things of the flesh are going to interfere with what God wants you to do and what wants you to have. Because you know what? The natural man, it doesn't receive the things of God. Actually, right now, there's a war going on in all of us between the spirit and the flesh. Our flesh is very real. It has desires. It has a voice, right? And it cries out. But then our spirit also has a desire. And which one are you going to go with? Well, you're going to go with the one that you've been feeding the most. And I'm not even talking about food. The one that you've been catering to and listening to and responding to, that's the one you're going to go with. If you've been, see, now, if you're going to spend time on spiritual things, you're going to have to deny your flesh some things. If your flesh wanted to do something here, but God wants you to pray, I got a choice to make now. My flesh wants to do this, but God says, okay, pray. What are you going to do? Well, I'll do this. Guess what? You missed out on the blessing. But what we have to do now as Christians, and this is something that has to occur every day, we've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. How do you do that? Just say no. Say that with me. Say, just say no. When your flesh cries out, you say no. Practice with the alarm clock. All right, let's move on from mortifying. What else does Colossians say in verse 3? Chapter 3. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. After what? The image of him that created him. So the new man is renewed by knowledge. How you grow spiritually is how are you doing with what you know? If you want to grow spiritually, increase what you know about God and start doing that. Your spiritual growth can occur more rapidly than natural physical growth. A baby, it takes 9 months to develop. But spiritually, if you were to take an hour every day and study the Bible and pray, how much would you grow in 9 months? You would grow by leaps and bounds. So we've got to put off something in order to put on something. Go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. This is really a beautiful picture of what we're talking about here. Start with verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength. Woo! What are you doing? I'm putting on my strength. Sometimes you got to get your attitude. You got to say, no matter what the devil brings to me today, I'm putting on my strength and I'm going to stand strong. You know, Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, put on strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments. Woo, do you know God makes beautiful things? He gives you a robe of righteousness, a garment of praise. When you're feeling heavy and depressed, you got the wrong garment on. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when you put on the garment of praise, that heaviness will leave. So if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling down and depressed, change clothes. Oh, Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Sometimes we've got dust on our garments. We got to shake the dust off sometimes. And sometimes the Holy Ghost helps you. He comes in and he'll shake you. Anybody ever been shaken by the Holy Ghost? I've been shaken but not stirred. No. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter. How do you loose yourself? Lift up those heavy hands. Shake off. And then you can shake off those chains. It's amazing what 5 minutes of praise will do. It's amazing what 5 minutes of having a thank you Jesus party will do. What's a thank you Jesus party? It's you get somewhere and you just start thanking God for everything. You have a thank you Jesus party. You'll be surprised who shows up to your party. Amen? So there's things that we can put on, isn't there? Because the new man, he's renewed in knowledge. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Well, actually, let us read verses 12 to 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Does that sound like we have a choice? Absolutely. You could look into your prayer closet and see what kind of garments you have. It's nothing to do with Armani, but it's Jesus. You talk about the master tailor, Jesus. It fits you perfectly. It never wears out. Oh, my goodness. You can put on Christ. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. When you put on the armor of light, you're going to be honest. When you put on the armor of light, you're not going to be rioting or drunk, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. When put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Jesus. That sounds to me like we can change if we want to. If you really want to change, you can start by putting on something different. Put on a different garment. Amen? And it really has to do with your mind. Now, you could walk around and you could accept depression. See my depression? This is my depression. Me and my depression, we're just going to have a pity party together. Or you could say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, you might have to again rejoice several times. The Bible says rejoice, and again I say rejoice because you might not got it the first time. It might take a few minutes to get the rejoicing flowing. You know, like when you turn on the hot water, it takes a couple seconds for it to get hot, right? Sometimes you got to warm up. Amen? You ought to warm up before you come to church. Put on the new man. Let's go back to Colossians 3. Can I finish it in the time left? Yes, I can. But if I don't, there's always next week. Praise God. All right. Look, let's look at verse 15. These are things that are going to help you stay renewed. Stay vibrant. Amen? Sometimes after 3,000 miles, you need a spiritual oil change. Your oil is all gunked up. You need some fresh oil. And God specializes in anointing you with fresh oil. The oil of joy for mourning. He will oil those squeaky joints. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That is a decision. You have got to let the peace of God rule your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I'm going to let the peace of God rule my heart. If your mind is stayed on the Lord, He'll keep you in perfect peace. When problems come, say, Lord, this is for you. When bill collectors call, say, Lord, it's for you. Well, isn't He your provider? But see, here's the thing. We get all worried because we're starting to feel the pressure in the natural. What am I going to do? And the devil joins in the chorus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You only got this much in your account, and you got to pay this much. I know the person who brought water from the rock. Who would have ever thought to hit a rock and have water gush out? You know, God's faucet is not like our faucet. It's a strike and speak to rock that turns on the faucet. My God shall supply all of your needs according to who? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you see that bill, when it comes to you in the mail, you have a choice. You can either get upset or you can rejoice. It all depends on what you're wearing. Amen? It all depends on what your mind is set on. You've got to let peace rule in your heart. Psalm 29:11, the last part of it says, He blesses His people with peace. A peace that passes understanding. Because of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Then let's go on. Verse 16 of Colossians 3. You've got to let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? What does richly mean? Abundant? More than enough? Are we letting God's word dwell in us richly? Or are we letting a little dabble do you? How much of God's word is actually dwelling in your heart? Do you have room for more? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Does that mean I got to memorize scripture? Yes, it does. If you can't know it, how are you going to use it? If you don't know it's there, what help is it going to be to you? You've got to let it dwell in you richly. You've got to study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. You know, you will be tested, but like I always say, it's an open book test. And if you don't have the book, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. But you know what? You've got to put it in you. The Word of God is God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It'll give the man or the woman of God everything that they need. You'll be fully equipped. Do you realize that the Word of God is the armor? Salvation, truth, righteousness, readiness, faith. That's all the Word of God. The armor is the Word. How is the Word dwelling in you richly? Is it abiding in you? We got to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. How does a person become rich in the natural? They make a lot of deposits. They make more deposits than they make withdrawals. That's how you become rich. Amen? We have got to deposit this word in our hearts. We must become skilled in the Word of God. When all else fails, this will not fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, he said, will never pass away. Are you going to invest in something that's going to pass away? Are you going to invest in something that never passes away? Dwell in you richly. And then finally, verse 17. And whatsoever you do. So we talked about how to be renewed. Now we're talking about what we do. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Say, I'm God's representative. Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Everything we do, it either represents God or not. Think about that. Now, why is that important? Because God tells us we're supposed to do something in Matthew 28:19. Anybody know what that is? We're supposed to make something. What are we supposed to make? Disciples. How are we supposed to make disciples? We're supposed to teach them to observe everything that we've learned. And guess what? If we're not doing what we learned, how do we expect them to do what we've learned? Right? The best way to teach someone else is to be an example. That way, your word and your deeds are working together for the same thing. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. You are God's representative. Where you work, you may work for heathens, but where better to shine as a light? A light works best where it's dark. God needs a light. He's got you there to pray for that place, to be a carrier of the anointing, to change the atmosphere, to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. Every job that I had the opportunity to pray for people. When I worked at the bank, if people were having health issues, I would just simply say, hey, could I pray with you? And they'd say, sure. So I'd go in the back, we'd pray, and then come back and do the work. But everywhere I've been, be a witness. Who's supposed to make disciples? Oh, it didn't say pastors make disciples. It said believers. Who's a believer? How many disciples have you made? Or let me ask you this question. How many disciples are you making? We're supposed to be making disciples. All of us. Because that's what it's all about. Christ is coming back for a glorious church. Not one with spot or wrinkle. Wherever God puts you, your neighborhood, wherever, we're supposed to do what we can for the gospel. Pray. If you don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, what can I do? He'll show you. He's got ways. Amen? So, renew you and what you do. These are qualities from Colossians 3 that's going to help you to be renewed. Amen? Well, I think that some of you need some fresh oil tonight. Amen? Some of you need a Holy Ghost pickup. You know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, whereas it says, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when people were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like they acted like they were drunk. Because the world said, oh, they're drunk. But Peter said, they're not drunk like you think so. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He just said, they're drunk different. Amen? And God just wants to touch you. If you're here tonight and you need a touch from God, God's here to touch you. If you need help from God, God's here to help you. If you need to be filled, God's here to fill you. Basically, whatever it is you need, God's here. And if you need that extra oomph, it's here. Amen? Because God doesn't expect you to do what he's called you to do without power. So if that's you, just come on up. You need a touch in your body. He's here to touch you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, God loves you. God loves you. You know that?
Yes.
What you need?
I felt last Wednesday and I still have pain. My whole body hurts.
Well, you know what? Jesus took stripes on his back so that he would take away our pain and our sickness. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that she's come up here in faith. She needs a healing touch in her body. Father, she fell and something got out of place. Something got moved. Lord, just put everything back in place right now in the name of Jesus. And we command that pain to leave her body in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you love her. Because you love her, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you've taken away her pain right now. Hallelujah. Do you feel any different? You feel better where it was?
Yes.
All right. Just praise him for a little bit, all right?
Okay.
Hallelujah. You know, whatever it is you need, God wants to meet you where you are. But you have to, by faith, just come and receive what God has. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you give her new wine. Father, turn her water into wine. Lord, increase the potency in the name of Jesus. Fill her, Father, right now, Lord. She's hungry and she's thirsty for you. Meet that, Lord. Cause her to anoint her head with oil and cause her cup to overflow. Father, right now, let her cup overflow in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just move mightily. Hallelujah. Fill her full. Fill her full with peace and joy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, let her have her full. Fill her up, fill her up, fill her up. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the desire and the need, Lord. And I thank you, Father, right now for filling her up. Up, up, up until it overflows in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you never, don't let her leave here empty, Father, but fill her to the full with your glory and your goodness. In Jesus' name, Father, right now. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you'll meet her hunger and her desire because you're good and you're gracious. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Be full. Receive of the Holy Spirit. Drink in the new wine. Oh, hallelujah. It does the body good. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your power and your spirit. Breathe on her, Holy Spirit. Breathe on her now in Jesus' name. Let her feel the goodness of your touch, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I was supposed to tell you that he'll put new wine. But he'll change the vessel before he puts the new wine in. He won't put a new wine in an old vessel. He'll put new wine in a vessel that's open and receptive to his ways, even if it's totally unlike we've ever experienced before. Because he's a creator. Father, fill them, touch them in the name of Jesus. Bless them. Oh, I thank you, Father, right now. Yeah, you're making the necessary changes, Father, for new wine to come into them. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Maraboka Sandarabura Sandarama. You know, there are times when God will do a new work, a new thing, because that's his creative nature. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to create in him, Father, a system that is regulated as it should be in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to recreate organs. I ask you to start causing those organs to produce what they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your strength come and your power come and your healing come now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Change and rearrange. By the power of